You know, when you want to go to a hostel, you're 22 years old and it's a lot of fun and everyone's staying in the bunk beds and everyone doesn't have any money. And it's this cool experience because you go to the bar and everybody is young and having a really good time. But what happens when you're 28, 32 years old and you want to go on vacation, or 35 years old and you want to go on vacation and you stay at a boutique hotel, which is kind of what most people do? It's cool. It's a nice place to stay, but there's no social atmosphere. There's no social engagement happening there.
This is Innovative Speak, a show about how innovators around the world are leading us into the workplace of the future. I'm Sarah Schlafly. Our guest today is Andrew Cohen. Andrew's official title is Head of Nomad at Celina. Get ready, because Celina is poised to lead the digital nomad revolution. Now, Celina is a hospitality network currently in the Americas, and soon they are expanding into Europe, which is really exciting. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you.
I would like you to explain what exactly a hospitality network means.
Sure. So Celina is a bit of an innovative product in itself. It's a very new concept. And what we basically offer is under the same roof, sort of everything from a very inexpensive dorm hostel experience, like an $8 a night kind of dorm bunk bed, all the way up to a 5-star hotel room and everything in between. So really offering across all different types, like price points, accommodation products that can really be interesting for all of our customers. And then under the same roof, we offer basically bar, restaurant, co-working space, access to tours and experiences locally, like surfing lessons and those kinds of experiences. And that's one location. And one location might be in a major metropolis like Mexico City, or in a very remote part of the jungle in Costa Rica, right? And kind of everything in between. And so to your question, what's a hospitality network? We, using the Celina brand and Celina product, we're offering that experience sort of everywhere currently, like you said, in the Americas. I think we have about 25 or 26 open locations at the moment. And the idea being that you can traverse that network and enjoy that experience in every different Celina, while also getting to know all those places and going, traveling throughout the world and existing within the Celina network.
I'm looking at these pictures on your website. They are just beautiful. Definitely makes me want to travel there and use Celina. And I think that's really great that you have quite a range of products. What gave you guys the incentive to create both the $8, very inexpensive hostel-like dorm rooms, all the way up to a really high-quality experience?
The leadership and the ownership of Celina is almost exclusively Israeli. And these guys they're great people. They come from, a lot of them come from a kibbutz, which is a very communal style of life in Israel where these guys were raised. And I think to them, it's very important and it's very attractive to have access and to be able to share that communal experience independent of the price point, independent of the money that you make.
Interesting. So it's making it accessible to a wide group of people so that anyone at any budget could participate in this type of experience.
Exactly. And I think actually even a better answer would be that when I hear the leaders talk, it's sort of like, when you want to go to a hostel, you're 22 years old and it's a lot of fun and everyone's staying in the bunk beds and everyone doesn't have any money. And it's this cool experience because you go to the bar and everybody is young and having a really good time. But what happens when you're 28, 32 years old and you want to go on vacation, or 35 years old and you want to go on vacation and you stay at a boutique hotel, which is kind of what most people do? It's cool. It's a nice place to stay, but there's no social atmosphere. There's no social engagement happening there. And so I think also the idea was that, I'm 30, I'm turning 31 very soon. I would love to go to a place where I could get a nice hotel room or something along those lines, but still have that same very cool atmosphere where I don't have to just go out to the street and start looking for things to do myself and get on TripAdvisor like that. I can at least start my night in the hostel or in the hospitality network, as you put it, right? But having that same kind of communal experience and making new friends and having that very easily facilitated social interaction to begin my experience.
Wow, I love that. What a cool way to explore the world.
Definitely. I think I've stayed in 5 or 6 Salinas at this point now, and it's a very cool concept. It works very well.
So you were originally a CPA. You received that from the University of Michigan, and then you worked in New York City. What brought you to Peru?
Sure. So my CPA does not come from Michigan. It comes from the state of New York, but I digress. Yes, I studied at the University of Michigan. I worked in finance in New York for 2 years. And then I had a lot of experience growing up, working and living abroad. It was always sort of my intention to get out of the United States. And my going to New York was more done for professional reasons and less for kind of like what I really, really wanted to do with my life. So when I was there, my goal really was to make a great connection and find a great opportunity overseas, which I ultimately did. I made a great friend while I was there, not through work, just through social life, who was involved in the private equity scene in Lima, Peru. And we became good friends. About a year after meeting him, he went back to work for Peru's top private equity firm. And upon doing that, I reached out to him and we've been talking about me coming down. And a few interviews later and a few Skype calls later, I had the offer and I packed my bags.
Wow. That's really exciting. And now you're the head of Nomad at Salinas. So tell me a little bit about what you do and the title of this role.
Sure. I think it's probably one of the most millennial titles out there, I guess. But following up on your last point, Sarah, I was working in Lima for a year at this private equity firm when two people that I went to school with at the University of Michigan founded Remote Year, where, I was really, really in love with this notion that this very new notion that you didn't have to be at your desk. You didn't have to be in a cubicle to get work done. You can work remotely. I didn't even really know about co-working spaces at the time. It was all a very new concept to me. And so I very quickly fell in love with this experience that the founders of Remote Year were looking to provide. And so eventually I left my job in private equity in Lima and joined the ranks of Remote Year as one of the original guys there, or not founder, but one of the very early adopters and followers. And I ran Latin America for them for about 2.5 years. So that's how I kind of discovered digital nomad space. I'd never heard of it before. And just kind of on a personal basis, I think that I was really driven to live in Peru or live abroad in my prior lives or current lives, because I really, really value that experience. And that's what I was looking for. And to me, it was like, to go to Peru, you have to go work for a Peruvian company, which is what I was doing. And I quickly found out that no, actually, to go live and enjoy yourself and see the world, actually, you just need to have a great internet connection, a computer, or not even now, just an iPad, right? And a job that allows you to do that. And so that's kind of how I found the digital nomad space. And then 6 months ago, I left Remote Year for Salina. And when I came in actually originally to be their director of co-work, but quickly, we got to know each other between the founder of Salina and myself. And he saw that my expertise and my knowledge and I guess capabilities extended far beyond just co-working, because the nomad space is much more than that. It's accommodation, it's co-working, it's experience, it's user interaction with local cultures, right? There's so many more other touch points. So, in me getting to know the founder of Salina and him getting to know me, that quickly evolved into my current role. And my current role at Salina is I'm a product head, the head of product for the Nomad products, which are basically everything in the hotel, hostel, co-living facility that isn't related to the bar and restaurant and the tours, right? So it's really the vast majority of the physical infrastructure of the buildings is my product. You know, if there's a sofa or two chairs, you know, I'm the one that kind of decides that. And a lot more things than that, but yeah, sort of the standards, the assets, the experience sit on me, and it's what I do, as well as the co-working facilities, and especially the internet connectivity is one thing that we from my prior life at Remote Year is something that I know we need to get right, so I focus on that as well.
So within Celina, you have bars, you have restaurants, dorm rooms, more, you know, private accommodations, and then a shared workspace all within the same campus.
Yep. So in the accommodation products, like I said, we've got everything from very, very basic dorm rooms, very inexpensive dorm rooms, up to 5-star hotel rooms and everything in between. And recently we're moving into the co-living space with serviced apartments. Additionally, we have co-working spaces. There's also common areas like the reception area. There's the restaurant, bar, cafe area called the playground. We also in certain facilities have like retail spaces that aren't operated by us, but they're operating within Celina. So like there might be a tattoo parlor that's not us, but they're leasing our space. It's also really cool. We found some really cool kind of like synergistic businesses that really want to be part of the Celina umbrella. We're also like looking to expand into gyms, and we offer health and wellness. We offer yoga and those types of like wellness products. So every day we're adding another kind of business line to our portfolio. But yeah, you kind of nailed the main ones, Sarah.
Wow, that's quite a lot.
I'm not so sure what's public and what's private information, but I can tell you for sure that we are currently operating between everywhere, pretty much between Ecuador and Mexico. Not all the countries, but the vast majority of the countries that connect those two. So we are active in Mexico. We are active throughout Ecuador. We're opening soon in Lima, Peru. We're opening soon in Europe. So we've kind of started in Panama and Costa Rica and have simultaneously expanded north and south. And as we've been getting into the lower extremes of South America, we've gotten into the United States, and we're opening soon in Europe as well.
Now, part of your branding is very much, when I look on your website, I see a lot of tropical environments. There's even a surf tab. So surfing seems to be a prominent part of the brand. How is that going to affect going into Europe and maybe some other areas where this tropical environment isn't where they are located?
That's a really, really good question. And I think no matter where we go, no matter what we do, I believe that Celina will always sort of maintain its Latin American or even Central American roots as like not a surf hostel, but, you know, we're now an accommodation or a hospitality network. But we're always going to have certain elements that are just part of our DNA. And I think two that come to my mind are surf and also music. We love to have live shows. Music's definitely a large part of our DNA. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm the head of Nomad, there's a head of music, right?
Wow.
That's considered one of our products, right? And so, yeah, as we get into more diverse geographies and new regions and big cities that have nowhere to surf, right? How do you maintain that that part of our brand and our identity? I think there's a few answers. I think wherever we go, Celina is in some ways a window to the city around you. We're going to always pull in local artists and local flair wherever we go. So we're never going to be a surf hostel in the middle of a big city, right? It's going to be more of a representation of the city that we're in. At the same time, though, you're going to see a lot of the street art and graffiti and the same kind of vibes that make a surf hostel or a surf location or a remote location really cool. You're going to feel a bit of that as well in an urban location. Now, it's going to be a lot more grown up. It's going to be a lot more modern and chic and those things. But, you know, we also look to in certain ways, make Celina an identifiable brand wherever you go. You know, I think our nightmare is to be something like Starbucks, where it's just the exact same standard everywhere, right? We definitely want to have a very high quality product. But like I said, we want to conform and we want to really celebrate every new location that we're going to, right?
So drawing in the culture of where you're going next so that those who are traveling can get more of an authentic feel to it.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I don't know how much surf will be, you know, in our New York City location. I hope that it's a little bit. I hope that there's a little bit of cool vibes to that regard. But things like music, things like communal areas, things like just overall friendly staff and like an altruistic shared experience, that will permeate our brand and our experience everywhere you go in the world.
That's really cool that you guys are expanding so rapidly. And that's something that's really challenging to do.
Right. We are closing properties just nonstop. I think I heard a stat from our HR team that we are signing 50 employees per week, which is crazy.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And now a lot of that is at the location and not at the corporate level, but also we're recruiting heavily at the corporate level as well. Right. So I think the major challenge, I think you identified it for me, is, you know, how do we expand so quickly? And also, how do we not only maintain, but also continue to improve our product at the same time? And what have we been doing to accomplish that? I think it's been a combination of a bit of soul searching, right? A bit of identifying, we've found this really cool product in Central America. You know, what exactly is it we found? We know what the experience is, but how do we put it on paper and how do we replicate it throughout the world? I think that's one. And I think the other way that we've approached it is by pulling on really top tier talent to get us there, right? People that have industry experience, people that can see our concept and product and lean on years and years of experience that they've gained elsewhere to create, you know, hopefully a big success story for Selena.
That's a huge, huge undertaking. And it's going to be really fascinating to see how you guys take on those challenges, especially in the hiring department, because that's being in the service industry, your teammates, they're a huge part of your product. What is a story that you've seen come out of Selena that got you so excited about what you're doing there?
You know, one thing that I've been working really hard that falls under my umbrella and that I oversee and supervise is our internet connectivity. And if we're really going to bring in digital nomads, and if we're going to be in places like, you know, Nicaragua and Costa Rica, and we're going to be in very remote locations in the jungle and the mountains, right? And if people are going to be working there and relying on us for their professions, internet connectivity is an absolute must, right? Not only good internet connectivity, but flawless internet connectivity.
Definitely.
And very sustained, you know, video calls and Zoom and those kinds of tools are how you are able to work remotely effectively, right? And so,
how are you tackling that in some of these countries that have that lack of infrastructure? What are you going to do about that?
So we found that in most places that the infrastructure is there. You know, there are remote islands where there is just no fiber optic cable there. But in most instances, the infrastructure is there. It's much more about getting the expertise there, getting people that know the proper, and not the expertise, but also the equipment and the devices and that kind of thing. So it's been much more of like a game of chess and a game of recruiting the right people and getting the right talent and getting the right suppliers and vendors and just the plans. But now, just now, in the past month or so, that planning and that recruitment effort has begun to really bear fruit for us. And we've been bringing our facilities online, not that they weren't online before, but now to a connectivity standard that, you know, I know and I feel confident selling a nomad product where people will come and work in Nicaragua and they'll have the same kind of connectivity experience there they would have in the United States.
That's amazing.
And the cool thing about Selena too is it's like the least exclusive environment. You know, we'll take anyone that's, from young to old, from any background. It's a very shared communal experience. Like I said before, kind of drawing upon the origin story of the founders of the company. So yeah, I think that we are definitely targeting ourselves towards digital nomads, but I also want to say that with a caveat of anyone can go stay at Selena anytime, anywhere they want to, right? So, laptop, no laptop, job, no job. There's a accommodation product there for you. There's, like I said, everything from a cheap dorm bed to an expensive hotel room and everything in between. The idea being that, you know, we're not limiting ourselves to any specific demographic of people.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to traveling in Selena's network. I'd like to close with this last question. What is one innovative product, service, or idea that you've recently come across that you're excited about?
Okay, well, your question is very timely. I'm actually taking this call right now from a place called Zoku in Amsterdam, which I'd heard amazing things about, and there's no coincidence that I'm staying in this room right now. But I'd heard from some people in the know that this is considered to be one of the best co-living facilities in the world. And I just got here at like 4 a.m. this morning on a very delayed flight. So I'm a little bit tired, but I'm sitting here right now and I just got to exploring this place. And what I can see is that this room might be 15 or less square meters. It is quite small, but it's extremely well laid out and it's extremely comfortable, right? And I think that when Selena gets to more urban locations, not so much in in the developing world, but much more in like in the New York cities, in the Londons of the world, where we're going to want to do co-living. And the co-living product really requires that, right? It requires that you can make a great space from very little. And sitting here in Zoku right now, I cannot even imagine a more efficiently well laid out and just overall comfortable space. And I really, really think it's cool. So yeah, if your user base wants to know, definitely check out this place. It's cool. It's a bit expensive. It's a bit pricey, but I can definitely see where that money goes.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what co-working means? Or sorry, co-living.
Sure. And that people make that the mistake all the time, right? Because they're both kind of these new little millennial products. But co-living is basically the same concept of co-working. Co-working is I don't want to just sit me and my four developers in a private little office somewhere in some office building. It's much cheaper and cooler and just kind of a big win-win-win across the board to rent co-working space and expose ourselves to a community of people. And engage, and engage a larger experience by working in a co-working. And co-living is that same thing, but it's in the after hours of work, right? It's where you're living and it's where you're staying. That same sort of flexibility that you get with a co-working space, or that you would get with a product like Airbnb, right? Where you're not committing to a 1 year lease, there's no guarantors, none of that crazy stuff involved. Co-living offers that as well. So it's sort of like an Airbnb, but you're not just by yourself in some random apartment building in the middle of nowhere, right? You're in a building with other co-livers that are doing the exact same thing, right? So it's a more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a more curated experience shared with others where you're able to not only work like in a co-working, but you're also living and you can also get to know the community better and make it sort of your short or long-term home base while staying in that city.
So co-living can be, you can stay there for as little as a month.
I'm staying in Zoku for like 6 nights, right? So it depends on the co-living facilities. They all have their own policies, just like apartments on Airbnb have the same thing, right? There are some that have a minimum 1 month rent. Some co-livings have like a minimum 6 month rent, right? But some of them are daily. It really just depends on the co-living in question.
Gotcha. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast.
It's my pleasure.
And if you're interested in checking out Selena, you can find them at selena.com.